It's good to be back, isn't it? Finally meeting all together again. It sure has been a long time, hasn't it? By my count, it's been 97 days since I last gathered with you and preached from this platform. For many of you, it has been quite as long since I actually missed our last gathering together because I was really sick with the flu. In fact, Dan spoke on that Sunday. And so it is definitely good to be back together again. It's been a long time. And so it would seem to be reason to celebrate, right? But I want to ask you, how are you doing? How are you feeling? Spiritually, emotionally, physically. A lot has happened in our country in these last 3 months. I mean, I wish that I could look around and I could say, you know, today just feels like a Psalm 95 moment. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Can I be honest with you? That is not where my heart is today. Those are not the words that reflect where my heart is right now. The words coming from my heart are more along the lines of, how long, Lord? How long? How long must I have such sorrow in my heart? I bet that many of you are feeling this way too. Yeah, it's okay to admit this. If you are like me this morning, I have good news for you. Not all of the Psalms look or sound like Psalm 95. Some of them sound a lot more like, how long, Lord? How long? How long must I have such sorrow in my heart? Today, we're going to look at the Psalm from which I took these very words. And that means that these words of lament are God's words to us, words that he has given to us so that we can use these words to him. This morning, I'm going to tell you why my heart is crying with the words of Psalm 13. And then together, we're going to learn from the psalmist what to do when these words are our words. So please turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 13. Now, at this point, I would normally tell you that if you don't have a Bible with you, to grab one of the red ones in the chair in front of you, but as you've probably noticed, there are no Bibles in our chairs right now. And so instead, I'll be putting the text up on the screen for us today. How long, Lord? How long? Verse 1 of Psalm 13. How long, Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Now, Psalm 13 here, it's attributed to David, the great king of Israel, who ruled about 1,000 years before the birth of Jesus. If you are familiar with David's story as recorded for us in the Bible, then you will know that he had many fantastic successes. He killed the giant Goliath. He married the daughter of the king. He regularly defeated the Philistines in battle. He united a divided kingdom. He was specially chosen by God to be the ancestor of the promised Messiah. But David also endured many challenging and difficult seasons in his life. For a time, he was a refugee, living in the wilderness and running from a king who wanted to kill him. He regularly battled armies from the nations around him. His own son tried to kill him and seize the throne. We don't know the specific circumstances that led David to write Psalm 13, but it isn't too hard to imagine why he might say, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me?" You know, we live in a world far removed from David's, but right now many of our hearts are crying out like his was. Because there is so much that's broken in our world right now. COVID-19 pandemic. Just in the U.S., we surpassed 2 million cases this weekend. There have been more than 400,000 deaths worldwide. Record unemployment levels. Serious economic challenges and shortfalls. No certainty about when things might return to normal. There is so much that is broken in our world right now. How long, Lord? How long? 3 weeks ago, a video taken in Minneapolis sent shockwaves across our nation. A police officer knelt on the neck of George Floyd for more than 8 minutes while he cried out for help and then fell silent, dead. And now many, both black and white, are uniting and demanding that we as a nation must do better in protecting the life and dignity of the black members of our cities and communities. For others, the anger and the frustration has led to rioting and to violence. There is still so much that is not right in our nation right now. How long, Lord? How long? Even as we share the deep emotional angst of the psalmist here, I think we can look at his words and we can see that he touches on three different kinds of hardships here. The first is spiritual. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Psalmist, he feels like he's been forgotten by God. He's honest in his confession that right now it feels like God has abandoned him. Maybe that's part of what you're feeling today. Maybe you aren't so bold as to say it out loud like the psalmist does here, but in your heart you have moments when it feels like God has forgotten us. Or that it is hard to see him right now, and so it feels like he's abandoned you in your time of need. Second hardship mentioned here by the psalmist is emotional. Look at verse 2. How long must I wrestle with my thoughts, and day after day have sorrow in my heart? You know, sometimes we can be our own worst enemy. Alone with our thoughts and our sorrows and our fears, we can just spiral downward. The uncertainty, the anxiety, the inherent isolation that comes with sheltering in place and quarantining has taken a terrible toll on many of us, especially on those who already struggle with mental health issues. And just a few weeks ago, one of my wife's cousins took their own life as a result of circumstances related to everything getting shut down. How long, Lord? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? Third hardship here is physical. How long will my enemy triumph over me? You know, unlike David, none of us are being pursued by a jealous king, a usurping son, or an army of Philistines. Physical hardships that some of us are facing are different than that. Maybe you've lost your job, or how you do your job has changed so much that you are struggling just to keep up with it. Maybe you're wondering if you might lose your home, if your income doesn't come back up, or if your job goes away altogether. Maybe you're wondering if you're physically strong enough to survive the virus, if you contract it before a vaccine or before better treatments become available. How long, Lord? How long will these physical hardships hover over me? Beset by all of these hardships, spiritual, emotional, and physical, the psalmist reminds God of the seriousness of his need. Look at verse 3. Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemies will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. Can you hear the urgency of the psalmist's words? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. You know, whether we want to take his words literally or metaphorically here, the stakes here are undoubtedly high. This for him is life or death. The hardships he is enduring are real, as are the consequences if he is not rescued from them. You know, in times of hardship, it is tempting for us to look away from God and toward other things for relief and for rescue, especially if it feels to us like God is distant or unresponsive right now. We might be, in those moments, we might be tempted to believe that the government or perhaps a particular political party has the real answers that we need. We might be tempted to put our hope in some sort of grassroots or maybe even a top-down social movement to fix what's really broken in the world right now. Might be tempted to look to alcohol or drugs to help us manage our worry and our hurt. Here in Oregon, marijuana sales in April were up almost 50% from a year ago. I can't help but believe that that's got to be related to the pandemic. Now, I realize at this point, you might be asking yourself, why did I come back to church today? This is not what I was looking for when I came in the door this morning. I don't need more reminders of all the brokenness around us. Maybe you walked in here and you saw how the chairs were all spread out and you were dismayed. Maybe you're thinking, you know, I can see and hear and feel it all around me already. I understand the urgency of it all, but please tell me that the Bible has more for me than just these cries of lament. Well, it does. And in fact, the psalmist shows us what to do when his cries have also become our cries. Having poured out his heart and been honest about the seriousness of his situation, the psalmist concludes with what might seem like a surprising declaration, given what he has just said previously. Look at it. He says it there in verse 5. He says, but I will trust in your, meaning God's, unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Despite the hardships he is facing, despite the feelings that God is distant, maybe even abandoned him, despite the depth of his need, the psalmist concludes that he will still put his trust in the Lord. Now, why, you may wonder? Is it because he can feel God with him right now? No. Is it because he can see God with him right now? No. Is it because he can sense God with him right now? No. Is it because things have finally started to turn around for the better? No. Is it because he just doesn't have any other options to try? It's not even that. The psalmist decides that he is still going to put his hope and his trust in the Lord based on the precedent of God's goodness to him in the past. He's going to acknowledge that right now he is really struggling, but that he's going to look beyond what he is seeing and feeling and experiencing right now and hold on to how God has been faithful to him in the past. It is in our darkest, most challenging moments that our memory needs to be the sharpest. Because when the present doesn't make sense to us, and we might find ourselves tempted to wonder if God is still really with us, That is when we need to cling in faith to the hope that God's faithfulness to us in the past is going to be matched, even exceeded, by his faithfulness to us in the future. Not because we've earned that from him, but because that is the kind of God that he has shown himself to be. Even when the world is falling down around us and it is hard for us to see it, God is still with us and he is for us. My friends, I stand before you this morning crying out with these words that God has given to us. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But regardless of the weariness and the sorrow and the grief that I feel right now, I can remember the many, many ways that God has been good to me in the past. And so despite all that I am feeling right now, I can also say to God, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Now, I know that sometimes my memory is not as good as it should be. And so sometimes I need to be reminded of the ways that God has been good to us in the past so that I can continue to trust him into the future. And I suspect that some of you might also benefit from some of those things right now also. And so as we prepare to conclude our service together this morning, here's what we're going to do. We are going to share with each other right now some of the ways that we have seen God's faithfulness to us in the past. Maybe it's personal experience. Maybe it's something, a corporate thing that relates to our church as a whole. Maybe it's something in the very recent past. Maybe it's something that goes back weeks, months, years, even decades. Let's share these things with each other so that we together will be able to declare that we will continue to trust in God's unfailing love and we will continue to rejoice in his salvation that he has given to us. Because we know and we remember how good he has been to us. So let's do that as we conclude our service.